Never know who you're going to bump into when we're out at stuff like this. Yeah. But it is Alan Trammell, kind enough to join us this morning, Tiger legend. Good morning.
Well, good morning, and you're right. You never know who you're going to run into. But, no, it's a great event. Happy to be here, and hopefully I'll contribute a couple of shots. I know they're always expecting, you know, the athlete's supposed to be the ringer, but yeah, I'm okay, but not to some of these guys are ringers.
Yeah, do you practice at all before you come to an event like this, just to fine-tune the game?
I have been. I live in San Diego, so I have the ability, obviously, to play some golf when I'm home. But last week was Kirk Gibson's outing, so yeah. I was able to, you know, play that round. And I was telling you, John, that we went up north for a couple of days. So I've played a couple times. Hopefully it helps.
This is the Ilitch Companies Foundation Celebrity Golf Classic. 17th year they've been doing this. And we normally get some people on from the Tigers and the Red Wings. And let's talk Tiger baseball here. This team's in first place. What's the story of the year to you?
Well, they're in first place. And if I'm not mistaken, they've got the biggest lead in baseball. And I know there's always going to be doubters. And I don't think there's a big red machine out there. I don't think there's a 27 Yankee. And so there's going to be the debate, you know, do we have enough? Remains to be seen. But I do believe we're going to make the playoffs. And whoever gets in the dance has a chance. So I'm sticking to that. But I know there's questions. And as there should be every year.
When you watch this team play, what's the thing that you look at and say, this is the best thing that they do?
Well, they're gritty. They're tough. And that comes from their skipper. And I kind of go back to our tenure with Sparky. And then of late, you know, a few years ago with Jim Leland. Very similar in regards. They just have that feel. The good coaches, the good managers, they know their personnel. And I think that, as listening to you earlier, John, about, I think you're right in regards to AJ's still kind of getting a feel for his guys. Yeah. And he is. There's no doubt about it. And we still have a few more weeks. You know, I know last month, including myself, I was a little like, whoa, you know, you lose 12 out of 13 in any sport. Wow, you start to wonder. But we've turned it around. I'm proud of these guys, but they're gritty. They play hard for 9 innings.
Have you shared, or are you able to share, any of your lessons from that 84 season with this team?
Absolutely, and it's not just this year or this month or last week or last month. This is going over, I just used the Torque and the Riley Green and Dingler, who I've known them for a few years, and I've seen them from day one. And some of the things, some of my sayings, some of my cliche little things, they understand it now, and that happens with experience and some game reps. Obviously, those are our big boys on our team, but the other guys are starting to kind of learn it themselves. Again, baseball 162, the marathon season, it's the old, everybody's heard it many, many times, but that's what you have to do. And they believe in themselves, and regardless of what people think, these kids believe in themselves, and that goes back to about a year ago. A little over a year ago when that run started last year when nobody expected it. They made the playoffs. They bumped off the Houston. They didn't win the World Series. And ultimately, at the end of the year, there's only going to be one champion.
You mentioned Riley Green. Mm-hmm. You've worked with him quite a bit.
Talk to him.
Okay. Okay. Talk to him quite a bit. I want to ask you about his swing then, okay?
Yes.
Because it's that uppercut swing,
yes,
and he strikes out a lot. But look, it's a couple homers over the weekend.
Yep.
How concerning are the strikeouts for him?
Well, I mean, you're talking about an old school guy.
Right.
And, you know, 100 strikeouts used to be. But again, this is, man, my era is over. And this is a different generation. It's a different style. I love Riley Green. And I know we're talking about the hitting and the strikeouts. And it's high. It's like the Dow Jones. It's the up and down. And is it too many for me? Yeah, probably a tick too many. But the fact is that he brings it. This kid is gritty. And let's talk about his defense. I mean, he's a well-rounded baseball player. I know offense, they want to think about it. That's the sexy part. But he's one of our guys, and I believe in him, and we count on him. But we're going to see. But this guy's in the middle of our lineup. We need Riley Green to be good, no question about it.
How valuable is the experience that they had last year? You mentioned the run that they went on. That was great, but to be able to win a series against Houston, and we know what happened against the Guardians, how valuable is that as they approach this postseason?
Well, I think it's very valuable. I mean, you've been in the trenches before, and sometimes, you know, our minds, we're humans, even though, you know, people don't think that way, we're human beings. You take a step back, and you think back to those times that they went through, And the more you do it, I think it's only more helpful. But this goes back to the staff. This is a well-prepared team. And regardless of what people think, do we have enough? Again, remains to be seen. But the fact is that they're well-prepared, and that starts with AJ.
Talking to Alan Trammell, talking about this Tiger baseball team, who's their number two starter if the playoffs start today?
Well, I don't know. I think we still have a few weeks. I know that not John Flaherty. That was the old catcher. Jack Flaherty. I messed up twice already. But Jack Flaherty has the capabilities. Again, people are going to say, hey, 7-13, he got roughed up yesterday. I get it, and you're right. But he does have some experience. And I think that what the staff is going to do is they're going to wait till the end and to see who's pitching better. If it was today, I think it's between, Charlie and Jack. And Casey, just because of the lack of experience, I think that would be it. But again, I'm not in those discussions. Those are just my opinions.
When we're talking about guys like Dingler and Riley Green, Torque, and all those guys, how much different is it to hit in September and certainly October than it is the rest of the season?
Well, you try to keep it somewhat normal.
Yeah.
We know that's impossible. We know that the stakes and people are watching, more people are watching. But really, as an athlete, again, you have to kind of block that stuff out and say, it's just another game, even though it's not. But that's the mindset.
Yeah.
And I think the experience, again, that 1 year of helping. I know we talked about Riley and Torque a little bit, and he's had a heck of a year as well. But Dylan Dingler has really, really had an excellent year. And plus, he's the catcher.
Yeah.
The number one. I used to think shortstops, obviously pitch, but the position player, catching is the number one, and he's done a fantastic job.
Have you talked to Lance at all about Dingler and what's his take on what he's watching when he sees Dylan Dingler?
He loves him too, guys. Lance was part of Gibby's golf tournament, and we had a chance, and obviously he's a catcher. He's a stud. He thinks Dylan is a stud, and I would certainly agree. I think most fans would agree as well that he has come so far, and he's one of our guys. There's no question that. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say within the next year or so he's gonna be hitting more in the middle of the lineup.
Yeah.
That's how good he is. But catcher first. That's what Lance. We were taught. That's the era. Defense first. And then the offense. I know people don't want to hear that, but that's just kind of the mindset that you got to do that first.
Yeah.
First and foremost is defense.
Tarek Skubal, let's talk about him for a second here. He's making a case to be the MVP this season.
Yep.
Would you make that case?
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, to have a horse, a number one, a true number one, like JV, Justin Verlander was, or Scherzer. But, again, we had two aces then. But let's just talk about Ver and what he brought to the table. So the other team knows that as well. When they're going in on that particular day, knowing that they're going against Tarek Skubal, they know they've got their hands full. And that's just a bonus to have, knowing that the little mind game, the mental part, that we've got one up on the other team, and that's nice to have. And if I'm not mistaken, I know they're on the West Coast, but he's pitching tonight.
So he is.
We're expecting another W.
The division. We've talked about it a lot. 10.5 game lead right now. How hard is it to switch that focus of still trying to make sure you win the division, but solidifying one of those top two seats so you don't have to play in that first round?
Well, again, that's from the fans' point of view, and I'm a fan. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I want them to get one of the top records so they can have that bye. And I know that they're trying to juggle the playoff system so that the teams that win don't sit that long. But it would be nice. And, again, I know that's what they're striving for. But AJ's not going to let them get them off task, which is, again, you guys have heard it, one game at a time, one series at a time. Again, going back to the old cliche, but that's how you do it, man, and that's what he's done. He's done a tremendous job of changing the culture, but the culture is that just staying on task. And they're doing that. And I'm going to say it again. I'm proud of these guys, regardless of what – people think, are we going to win the World Series? I hope so. That's what I hope.
Well, I wanted to ask you
got a chance.
As a fan, not as a guy making those decisions, how do they stack up, right? Because we know great position.
Well,
if you can set Tarek Skubal up in a rotation
sure.
in an ALDS, it puts you in a spot to get to the ALCS. But in terms of the teams they'll play, down the stretch here, whether it's a Toronto or a Seattle who both beat them in the second half here, or a Dodgers and a Phillies, these teams with big payrolls and big additions, how do they stack
up? It's certainly a very good question, a valid question. It's going to be talked about for quite a while now, over a month. But I want to throw it at, how do you think the people in Milwaukee, I mean, they got the best record in baseball. Does that guarantee that they're going to win it?
Nope.
No, it doesn't. So the point is, as I mentioned earlier, about you get into the dance, you have a chance. I stand by that. So, again, there's going to be speculation. Again, I don't think there's a fan base that's like, well, even the Dodgers, the mighty Dodgers. There's no guarantees about them either. So we'll see. But I like our guys. I like the way we get after it. I know that we'll be prepared. We need to first of all, clinch, but I do believe that will happen.
I know championship rings have changed over the years. Your 84,
the paperweights.
Yeah. There are more trophies now than they are actual rings. Yeah. But what does the event have to be for you to break out the 84 World Series ring?
Well, you know what? People have asked me this. I wore it very proudly. I still do. But I was nicking it, so I put it in a safety deposit box. So, obviously, if we get to the World Series, maybe in the playoffs. I haven't even thought that far ahead, John. But if we get into the playoffs, I think I should put it on for the playoffs. But again, it's something that unfortunately we won one.
Yeah.
But after that year we had, we thought we were going to win multiple ones. But it just goes to show you how difficult
how
it is.
How
hard it is.
Absolutely.
Yes.
He's Alan Trammell, World Series champ, World Series MVP. Kind enough to give us a few minutes today. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, guys. Have a good day.
It's 97-1.
Tigers are playing these late night games. They may be not on your radar. They've lost all of them. They've lost four in a row, three straight to the Sacramento A's. And John, our question is something or nothing.
It's something in regards to the starting pitching. It's nothing in regards to how it affects the Tigers and getting to the postseason. That's probably a way oversimplification, but that's how I see it.
Yeah, they're still 8.5 up in the division. They're going to have Kansas City coming up this weekend. Barring some sweep, I don't think anybody's panicking. The concern is about starting pitching. Casey Mize pitched last night, and he got hit up again. His last eight starts, he has an ERA of 7.20. I'll say that again, 7.20. That's a guy who was the number two in the rotation. He was an all-star, and now I have no idea what the hell to do with him. They don't have a number two pitcher. And if you don't have quality starting pitching, you're going to tax a bullpen of reclamation projects. You're not going to have a chance to go anywhere once you make the postseason, because I still think they're making the postseason. I don't think anybody's panicking about that. In that way, it is nothing to lose these three games. But it's something that we don't have a number two starting pitcher right now.
It's frustrating. It is certainly concerning. And how do they manufacture innings from a staff that your starting pitching is unpredictable?
Because the issue is, we were already discussing, hey, we need to get this bullpen shored up, right? You asked AJ Hinch about it. He goes, hopefully we can do it sooner rather than later. Well, instead of asking these guys to pitch two or three innings, you're going to start asking them to pitch four or five innings. And now you do not have the depth you had last year with pitching chaos, and you are begging to be bounced early. Now, the good news is you got 27 more games and you got a month to figure it out. But John, I don't know who it is, because Morton got hit up in this series. Flaherty has been inconsistent. Casey Mize, since early July, hasn't been good enough. And Paddock's throwing today. He hasn't inspired anybody. I know they'll get Reese Olson back for the playoffs, but the thought is he's going to be a bullpen arm, not like an innings eater.
They're hoping to get him back for the playoffs.
I know. Not a guarantee.
Don't know if they will or not.
So then do you bring up Melton? If you make him a starter, it solves the problem in the short term. But if you're managing his innings, you might not have those innings when you really need them in the postseason. So are they going to maybe ramp him up in late September? If they don't have any other option, John, I think they have to.
Well, I think they have to, yeah. And I don't know what the unwritten rules are for a young pitcher. If you're in the ALCS, do you not pitch him because of some predetermined pitch or innings limit? Like, I don't think you can do that. You've got to try and get to the World Series. And then the same thing in the World Series. It repeats itself.
Right, because at some point you have to go for it. I know their thing is we're going to be good forever and we're going to play the long game. We're not going to trade our top prospects. We're not going to rush McGonagall. We're not going to burn the innings on Melton. If you're 8 wins away from winning the World Series,
and I gotta
throw
believe,
him a couple extra innings.
And I got to believe if you ask the athlete, like, hey, I know that we're reaching your innings limit that we had talked about back in, you know, July, but do you want to pitch in the World Series?
Hello.
I mean, that seems like an easy answer to me.
So we're working with numbers here. Melton's previous career high in innings pitched, 2024, he threw 100.2 innings. This year he's up to 75.
Right. So how far above that 100, you know, 0.2 innings?
Does he have another 50 innings to get to 125? Can he get to 150? Because if he can get to 150, then you're fine.
I would think. And I would think at some point that number is irrelevant.
Correct.
It's about the wins. That's the number that is relevant. It's 3 in a 5 game series and 4 in a 7 game series.
Quick math. Actually, he's up to 102 innings now. I'd add his majors plus his minors. So yeah. He's at where he basically at a career high innings right now. Yeah. And that's what they're going to be juggling down the stretch. But he's been
good.
Yeah, he's been very good. Let's get to Sam on a sell. Sam, good morning.
Hey, good morning. So this is just me, my opinion. I think they need to address the pitching as soon as possible because, you know, I'm sure we'll get to the postseason. And if they've been pitching like they have been and they lose a key game, then that game could cost them the whole series and the postseason. So they need to address it.
How, Sam? I'm not trying to be smarmy. Like, what's the answer? I'm not supposed to talk about the deadline, but it's over. So what do you do now?
I mean, I don't know what to do. I'm not, you know, I have no clue what to do, but it's something that needs to be addressed. Either more training, you know, work more. I have no idea. That's just my concern, the pitching. It could cost us the World Series.
I'm right there. I think that's a great read of the situation. And we've got text this morning talking about, hey, this is why Fetter's supposed to be the real deal, right? This is why A.J. Hinch is thought to be a great manager. They're going to have to mix and match. They're going to have to stumble into a strategy because they just don't have the horses right now. Rich in Livonia, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, team. So wanted to jump in a little bit about last night and just the observations over the weekend or over the last 3 days. It just seems as if it was either hit really hard or it was maybe a swing and miss, but everything that they were dishing up to the A's was just pounded, which is a dangerous team. I do not want to face them if, you know, we end up getting to the postseason. Just really looks like a dangerous team. But outside of that, I mean, from a pitching standpoint, you know, I think they go back to the bullpen by designation and roll one of their starting roles where they just have, you know, the bullpen deployment. Go back to that and try to see if that's going to spark something because – it just doesn't seem like, you know, they're pitching to contact and the contact is hard. So, but it's nothing that I'm really too upset or scared about yet, but we're getting close.
They're running out of time to figure it out. Yeah, they're running out of time to figure it out. I mean, it's all well and good to be searching for solutions in late August. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be searching for solutions in late September. But John, let's say go.
Okay. So what do they do? Like, what is the solution? You're not going to add arms.
No, you can't. They have what they have. And Finnegan's been a really good addition, and you feel good about him in the 8th or the 9th or the leverage spot, but you got to get there. And you like Vest, but you got to get there. And if you're going to use Melton to open games, he's no longer that bridge guy that you highlighted. And maybe it's Tyler Holton, but I feel like he's been more uneven this year than last year. And you start to really run through it. You don't have the depth you had a year ago. Not out of the bullpen.
No, but it's up to AJ and Chris Fetter to figure out what is the favorable matchup for this pitching staff. And it's trying to put that Rubik's Cube all back together where you're looking at a 5-game series and you're saying, well, in this one, we want to use Melton as an opener and Flaherty as a long reliever because we like the matchups better later in the game. I don't know. I'm making things up because I don't know what they know.
Well, they should have a whiteboard and they should be talking through all of it. Everything should be on the table right now. Ticket text 248-539-9797. guys, right now, even Skubal isn't pitching great. They don't have enough pitching. Well, you see what happens if you lose the Skubal start.
Yeah. That he's the one that's supposed to always keep you on track. And it fair or not fair, that's the expectation.
And it really feels like all the teams they may face in an ALCS or an ALDS have a steadier rotation.
And I know last year when they were on this great run, right, there was one where Skubal lost and everybody thought, oh, well, it's over. Because that is the expectation, that you can count on a Skubal win.
John, I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea, but have I said something outrageous in the first 12 minutes of this hour? Because this text says, guys, it's 8 a.m. Eastern. I'm just starting to listen. I want to make sure someone calls in to tell Costa to shut up his prediction hole.
Nah, it's probably a reference to your demanding apologies on Monday.
Was I wrong to do that? We can explore. Tigers swept by the A's, just the fourth time all season they've been swept. Something or nothing, 248-539-9797. We've got open lines, got some good ticket text to read. Later in the hour, does Brad Holmes love Davenport a little too much? And the bar to pay Brian Branch just went up. We'll get to where he ranks in the hierarchy. Key pieces for this Lions team. John, on the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah.
Tech says, you guys are spot on with needing starting pitching, but you're dead wrong that these games mean nothing. We can't lose to the worst teams in the league, can't get swept by them. I'm not confident like you guys are that they will still make the playoffs. They are in danger of blowing an opportunity at the postseason.
No.
Not right now.
No. And so I'm trying to get the right screen up. They've got an 8.5 game lead in division. I'm not going to declare it over yet, but I don't think that they're missing out on that. Right now they're tied for one of the top two seeds in the American League, and they are, what, 5 games up on the Astros for that second seed.
So, look, making the playoffs, well, that's even farther, because you're talking about Cleveland jumping up at this
right.
point. Yeah, I mean, but winning the division, I mean, that would be a choke
yeah.
big time. I still, look, the only reason to be concerned, like, that there's a something short term is that they actually play the Royals 3 straight games in KC, and the pitching matchups favor the Royals.
You get Skubal Sunday.
Yeah. But you have Flaherty going against undecided on Saturday. And at this point, I like undecided, you know, the way Flaherty, I went to the game Sunday. Flaherty got hit so hard. It was even the outs were just line drive.
Loud outs. Texas, I don't like that you guys are talking about what can happen in the postseason like it's a guarantee we make the postseason. Tech says, it's extremely concerning that our solution is a rookie pitcher. It's not fair to Melton to expect him to be the two. Flaherty and Mize have let this team down. Justin driving to work. I mean, Mize was an all-star. He's just been awful for 2 months now. Tech says, what about Montero? Could he be a solution? I trust him as much as anybody but Skubal. Texter says, don't worry. Alex Cobb will save the season. JK, Dean in Harrison Township.
On Twitch, it says, it's okay. Tigers can't lose today.
They seem to be paying a price for Cobb. That he was brought in probably to somewhat replace Job originally, because Job was going to be on a pitch count for all season. I mean, who knows how they would have managed Job throughout the year. I don't know if he'd have been able to pitch in the postseason.
But the Cobb thing, I mean, we talked about it at the time. The guy was contemplating retirement. He had barely pitched the year before. And the Tigers, they didn't give him like a flyer deal. They paid him $15 million.
Right.
And there's a little bit of a misplaced faith in Alex Cobb.
It's a little bit like Davenport. With the Lions, I mean, you're just hoping that it's going to be okay. I mean, placing your fate and hope can be extremely dangerous.
Yeah. Look, Texture says we do miss Jackson Job now.
In terms of the Melton one, you guys are more referring to him being like the third starter in a playoff series. So you're best of 5. You're going Skubal. I would go Morton because of experience, and he's looked the best, the most consistent out of all of them.
Well, after the last start, he gave up 5 runs, 5 innings.
And then I would open Melton, and then I would go.
You see how far you can go?
To Flaherty for 1 inning, and then to Holton, and then to hopefully you're winning, and then it's Vest and Finnegan.
Yeah, you see how problematic this is, though, if we're taking guys who are starters and saying you're an inning guy, and how many innings are there in a 5 or even a 7 game series?
Well, my son said to me on Sunday at the game, he'll do fine the first couple innings, and then they're going to hit him. Yeah. I mean, it's obvious. He can get through the lineup sometimes like one time.
248-539-9797. Something or nothing. Tigers have lost 4 in a row. We're swept by the A's, and we do not know who the number 2 starter is. It's Skubal and a collection of question marks. 97-1.
All right, locked and loaded and ready to go. It is the Karsh and Anderson radio program. I am Doug Karsh, and that is Scott the Gator Anderson. How are you today, Scott Anderson?
All right, Doug.
Yeah?
Yeah, a little tired. You know, stayed up all night watching a game.
Yeah, frustrating.
Right, I don't know. It was done by, 12:40 or something like that.
Yeah.
Frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Frustrating. Wasting a Scooble start.
Yep.
And then they adroitly pointed out last night that, hey, remember last year when the Tigers lost a Scooble start against Oakland and Colorado? while they were amid this, the great charge towards the end, they lost two Scooble starts to those teams.
Right.
At the end when they were going 33-11 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So it's okay.
I mean, look, it happens in baseball. You're going to lose games to bad teams. It's snapshots in time, my friend. Snapshot. You gotta take big picture thinking with baseball. Otherwise you drive yourself crazy with the ups and downs. And it doesn't stop us from being disappointed after losses, but especially Scooble starts, and especially one where he gives up a grand slam late when he was one strike away. He was one strikeout away. He went bases loaded and went strikeout, and then kaboom, gives up the grand slam to Shea Langeliers. I ain't gonna lie, I'd never heard of Shea Langeliers before last night.
I had, but what I didn't realize is how good he's been since the All-Star break. When they said he's got 16 home runs since the All-Star break, mm-hmm. and now it's 32 RBI since the All-Star break. Yeah, that was, and
tree,
the way that
tree falls in a forest, right?
Right. Well, the way that
Ocramento is anybody.
The way that that at bat was going, you could see he was that Scooble was getting frustrated, and mm-hmm. he just didn't have the command that he normally does, and clearly not the location that he wanted on that pitch because it was right over the
God,
plate.
He was mad too.
Yeah, he knew it right away. I can't believe I just did that. Like, didn't get the ball inside enough. I mean, it was inner half of the plate, but it was pretty close to center, and he just smoked it. It was a no-doubt grand slam.
So anyway, welcome to the program. Gator's tired. I am not quite as tired. Got a nap in yesterday knowing it was going to be a late night. But you're ready to go, which is good. Kang is here, of course. Kenny answering phones. Welcome, everybody, watching the video streams on Twitch and YouTube. Always welcome, and thank you very much. Participate in the streaming chat on both those sites, and welcome those of you listening on the Odyssey app. From anywhere in the Metro Detroit area and outside, that's a great thing about it. Download it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. Probably the biggest story, I think, right now is Lions roster cuts. As the roster is getting shaped, most of this stuff has been reported, waiting for actual confirmation, but the list of names include, well, there's a lot of names that either had some acknowledgement that they were, going to make the team or had a good, I shouldn't say make the team. There were some good guys who played well in the preseason were let go. And guys who've been here for a while were let go. And guys who had some draft status were let go. There is still chance that they will end up on the practice squad, which is fine. But those names include Hendon Hooker, Jackson Meeks, Broderick Martin, Ian Kennelly, Nate Lynn, Eric Hallett, Tom Kennedy, Anthony Pittman. And when I think about, I guess I'm just wondering if any of these hurt. Maybe not so much that you think they're going to rue the day, but they just hurt, or you're disappointed, or you were rooting for a guy. Which one made you go, oh, shoot, or damn it, or whatever? Any of these kind of catch you off guard here a little bit, and you had a reaction to them getting released?
I think I was surprised Dan Skipper was let go.
Yeah.
That might be the one that surprised me the most. I was disappointed the most by, I think, Nate Lynn. But if it just clears the way for Za'Darius Smith, then I'm not going to be that disappointed. But I was surprised by Dan Skipper. He's a guy who's been here for a while and looked like he's been a pretty serviceable extra tackle on this team, bit of a cult hero with the whole Dallas experiment. But obviously they like other guys better. And this is where I trust in Brad Holmes to make those tough decisions. Broderick Martin was waived. Hendon Hooker was waived. These are two guys from a draft 2 years ago that just didn't pan out, and they're moving on. They're not going to dwell on it. So I suspect that they have a pretty good hold on who deserves to be on this team for the offensive lineman.
Do you think it's a guarantee that any of these guys will end up on the practice squad?
Guarantee, no. Maybe some of the defensive backs, maybe those guys like Kennelly or
Hallett,
Whiteside, you know, a couple of those guys probably. But I don't think it's a guarantee that Jackson Meeks makes it to the practice squad because he put good tape out there out there for the other teams to look at during the preseason. So I think it's going to be a little iffy to see if they can get some of these guys back. But for the most part, I think they get back who they want to get back.
Yeah, I'm going to be intrigued to see if nobody claims Hendon Hooker, is he on the practice squad? Is that a guarantee? If nobody claims him, do you think they pick? Because like Tommy DeVito got released. Who would you rather have, Tommy DeVito or Hendon Hooker?
Probably. You know, that's a tough question. I would lean towards DeVito, but then I think the reason that Hooker gets it over DeVito is because Hooker's been here and knows the system.
Familiarity.
Yeah. And if you're going to come in as a third string quarterback, DeVito isn't terribly experienced where, oh yeah, I've done that. I've given the three different stops. I know how to prepare when I, you know, short on time with the playbook. So I would imagine it's probably between those two, it's probably still Hendon Hooker, but we'll see.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. Any of these names make you go, whoa, or disappointed, or any reaction? Did you have any reaction to any of these guys that have been reportedly released? Broderick Martin. Does Broderick Martin do they want him on the practice squad? Are they hoping he makes it to the practice squad? Or do you think that if, you know, he could clear waivers and that'd be it?
I don't know, because the position of defensive tackle, you know, how strong is that for them? It's not just defensive line. I guess would they rather try to bring back like a Goudé or Nate Lynn? Or is it Broderick Martin? You know, Goudé and Lynn are more defensive ends as opposed to defensive tackle. So I don't know what they're thinking of is the bigger need for the team. But, you know, I'm curious to see if other teams are like, ooh, Broderick Martin was released.
Yeah.
No,
well, none of this is official yet. I think it all goes official today at 4:00. And then teams have like 24 hours to get their ducks in a row before whatever it is, before they can make waiver claims. And then,
yeah, I don't know when you're going to make a waiver claim. I would think that maybe that would be an advantage to waiving guys early is that you'd know if they were claimed by somebody else to be part of their roster.
What do you mean?
Well, because these players have to clear waivers in order to sign to a practice squad. If they're claimed, it means they're being claimed by somebody to go to their active roster.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how that works, but suffice it to say, today at 4:00, the roster should be set.
Well, the 53 and then waivers start. Practice squads. I'm trying to look at the timeline here. Starting at 12 on August 27th, teams can start signing players to their practice squad. So that's noon tomorrow. They can start setting their practice squad. So 248-539-9797. Who getting released or reportedly released do you have a reaction to, whether it's disappointment or just, you know, you were rooting for a guy or you think they'll rue the day? Which name caught your attention the most? Talk to the Lions fans next. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
It's a bad bite. Bad bite. And Doug's looking at salad, so I apologize.
Honey,
yeah, we're back.
And we're back.
Sorry, I'm new here.
That's right. Yeah, you walked out. I'm like, where'd Stoney go?
All right, so we said we get to the Tigers. We barely talked about them. Last night's game was a sloppy mess, okay? If you look at the Tigers, what we know about this team here as we head into September is that they are not the best roster in baseball. They are not chock full of superstars. They're not a dominant team. But here's what they are. They are a team of specialists. They got guys who can hit righties. They got guys who can hit lefties. They got guys who can get righties and lefties out. They usually field the ball, and they almost always make smart plays, and they run the bases really well. And when you break it down in the most simplest of terms, our Detroit Tigers, when you look at the biggest aspects of the game, pitching, hitting, and offense, and defense, fielding the ball. And those three aspects of the game, you triangulate them, and you are basically better than your opponent in two of the three on most nights, and guess what? You're 20 games over 500. If you're better than your opponent in two of the three aspects, your pitchers, your fielders, and your hitting and base running, if you're better than your opponent in two of those three, you're going to win a lot of games. And they've kind of crafted out this way to win games, and it's been awesome. Last night, they didn't pitch it, and they didn't field it. And when that happens, you get this kind of result.
Yeah, they did a horrible job fielding the baseball yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They were charged with two errors, and it felt like there could have been four or five in the game. They just weren't charged with all of them. And it went both ways. It was an amazingly bad decision. I think Butler was the hitter who popped it straight up in the air. Was it the ninth inning that he did that? Straight up in the air, and Colt Keith is coming in on it. It's just in fair territory between the third base and home plate. And he just dropped it, flat out dropped it. The second time he dropped the ball in the game, it was picked up. It couldn't have been, I think, picked up by Melton. Melton mm-hmm. threw it over to second base for the first out, and they threw it over to second base for the first out, and got the double play at first base because Butler was so upset with himself, only took two steps towards first base, then started to take a couple steps towards the dugout because he figured, oh, this is a pop up, I'm out. And then when he realized, oh, wait a minute, Colt Keith just dropped it, I better start running to first base. And he got doubled up, which is highly embarrassing. But it never should. I mean, it worked out in the Tigers' favor in that situation, yet the Tigers just couldn't get out of their own way.
Did you see how that read in the box score or the game description?
I don't know. How would it have read? Was it double play?
Butler grounded into double play, pitcher to shortstop to first.
I mean, technically, I guess it hits the ground in the infield. It's a grounded to double play. But. Yep. Crazy bad situation there. And then the 10th inning, the bottom of the 10th inning was just awful. Runner at second base and a base hit to left field, and Riley Green fields the ball and decides to come home with
it's bad throw or throw to the wrong base.
It's a throw to the wrong. I mean,
it's not the smart play. Like what we talk about is how, the things that they do on that triangle, they're better at two out of three, but part of being a good defensive team is being a smart defensive team.
Yeah. So it wasn't able to work out for them last night.
They have probably, and I'm sorry to interrupt, I apologize, but how many times have they gotten the extra 90? They get the extra 90 better than everybody. But if you look at the net, how many times have they given up the extra 90? That was an example of them giving up a critical extra 90 feet, a runner, then the winning run gets on second base and completely changes the tenor of that.
Well, and it happened again. Here about a base running error last night. Wenzel Perez, getting ready to go to third base, decides, oh, I better not do that. Almost gets thrown out at second base, trying to get back to second base when the right move was, keep going to third base. You would have been safe. But I think he had been snake bit because the previous game, he got picked off at third base and probably didn't feel good about that and wants to play a little conservatively. And that's not who the Tigers are.
No.
So I'm not terribly upset. It was a bad way to finish the night. It's three games in a row they've lost. That doesn't look good, but they didn't lose any ground on Toronto. In fact, there's still a game up. Because Toronto lost last night to Minnesota, I believe.
Yeah, so. I'm not worried about them. It's just that's not the formula. It's not even close to the formula, and they were out of character last night.
But there was one thing that came out of that game that I think is going to be something that gets discussed more for the rest of the season than I thought it was. I thought there was going to be it was done and we're going to live with it. But because I saw what I saw, it's hard to ignore it. And that is watching Troy Melton go out there and pitch well again out of the bullpen. But we've seen him as a starter and he looked awfully good as a starter. Last night comes out of the bullpen again, goes three innings, gives up just one hit, no runs, and you can't help but think, does he belong in a bullpen or does he belong in the rotation? And I understand that there's going to be concerns about innings pitched, and that's why I'd really love to hear a definitive word from AJ Hinch. Like, do they not? Are we at a point now where they just don't? They shouldn't care. Like, hey, I get it. He's going to pitch more innings than he did all last year. So what? He's young. You expect him to be able to do something? Do you need to? I mean, maybe you don't pitch him every 5 days as a rotational guy, but he's so good for this team. You got to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, let's. Yeah, I don't think you know who the starting pitchers are going to be when they get to the postseason. Troy Melton is absolutely should be in play, and yeah, they should push it if they get into October and he's their best option. I think they're rationing him so they have that opportunity. I think that's all this is.
Might be.
Is we're just going to use him out of the bullpen, and if the opportunity presents itself, we're going to pitch him. And as they should.
Now, the other thing I think we have to take into consideration with the Athletics, it's a good hitting baseball team. They got a lot of power in that lineup. Mm-hmm. They got guys that are playing really well right now. They may not have the pitching staff that they had prior to the deadline, and it's a work in progress there. But offensively, it's a very good baseball team. Tigers need to go out and win the game tonight. Let's stop this losing skid at 3 games, continue on the correct arc as we move forward. And the other good news, Parker Meadows is going to, I think tonight he's going to make his return to the minors at Toledo. AJ Hinch gave him they just said it was in great shape yesterday, did the full speed running, and they really liked what he did.
I'm going to hang on to my Tigers got to win this game card. I'm not going to play it today because their leads are comfortable.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to be more important games coming up. But I'm not going to play that card yet. But, every time they, I mean, that was what they did at the beginning of the year. They killed losing streaks early, and they always responded with a bigger winning streak. And so if they're back to their, they had 3-game losing streaks in the first half of the season, and that was it. That was the max. So it will be on brand for first half Tigers to go win this game tonight. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. We'll get to your phone calls and feedback. More waiver updates in the NFL as rosters are starting to come into shape. Still no word yet on what Brad Holmes is planning on doing with those 3 extra roster spots. It'll be interesting, and chances are it's going to be smart. Chances are it's going to be smart. But when there is breaking news, we'll pass along to you. Keep it locked in. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. I had a bad changeover today, Scott.
Yeah?
A bad changeover.
How are you going to?
Well, I had to run out and grab something, and nothing's – live reads not loaded. Twitch and YouTube streams aren't up.
Well, I understand.
I'm not ready to go. Can you whistle for a second here?
You don't want me to whistle.
Can you sing?
I could, but
in a fountain.
Yeah, wow. How old is my co-host? We're going to take guesses right now.
Flintstones. Meet the Flintstones.
Interesting.
Yeah. Did I just slip a movie reference past you?
No, you went 3 coins in a fountain. It's just, it's an old song, dude.
No, and then I went Flintstones.
Right.
I've totally slipped the movie reference past you.
By saying Flintstones meet the Flintstones?
By going 3 coins in a fountain and then Flintstones.
Oh.
You have no idea what it's from.
I don't know. I feel like it's a 3 Amigos or something. I don't know what it was.
That's actually stunningly close. It's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes, I knew it was Steve Martin.
It's a Steve Martin film. And Steve Martin tried to get everybody on the bus to sing 3 coins in a fountain, and nobody knew it. Then John Candy's character started singing the Flintstones, and everybody knew it. And Steve Martin was disgusted. But anyway.
I got it now.
Yeah.
I do
way
remember.
To go, Doug. Way to reference a movie
those
40 years old.
Those aren't pillows.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a great movie.
It is a good movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
Yep.
Is it Christmas or Thanksgiving?
It's Christmas. He's going home for Christmas, and Dell has nowhere to go. But you don't know that till the end.
I mean,
of the
it's
movie,
tough yeah. when you're a
shower curtain
salesman.
Shower curtain ring salesman.
Right, right. Not even shower curtain.
He sold
the
rings.
Very yeah. specific.
Yep. But anyway, how are you today?
Yeah.
Uh oh. You're not good?
No.
What? Oh, Tigers.
Part of it.
Yeah, I gave up last night. I'm like, forget this. I didn't even start the game.
It was so bad. It's, I mean.
Did you go walking there?
I feel like I'd done a couple of walk-ins in the last minute. They were totally unintentional walk-ins.
So bad.
So bad. Yeah. Guys, got to be better. We're throwing a ball all over the place. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Stayed up last night watching a terrible team. I mean, the defense has been absolutely horrific lately. I thought I saw last night, it may have been a mirage, but was it seven straight games with an error, which is the longest streak of error games since 2009?
Is that right?
Yikes. That's not good. That's terrible. And I mean, it's everybody. Everyone's to blame in this thing. I mean, the defense has been so bad. It's whether it's just a bad decision like Riley Green not throwing to the cutoff man or trying to intentionally throw the guy out the plate when you have no shot. You know, Colt Keith dropping pop flies, Zach McKinstry throwing the ball all over the place, and there was a confusion on a play last night. It was a ground ball to shortstop. Trey Sweeney's got it, and he's going to start what looks like could be the double play, getting ready to throw it to Torres at second, but Zach McKinstry's over there. Like, Zach McKinstry crossed over from third base as he's running to try to make the play that he shouldn't have because Trey Sweeney's got it. And then he keeps running, gets over there to second base, and Trey Sweeney kind of like double clutches, like, okay, I got to throw it to you. Like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
Casey Mize fielding a ball and throwing it in the stands. It's just been horrible. And there have been a few others that just go in there. This is not characteristic of the Tigers.
You know what it is? They inadvertently adapted to the environment around them. They went to a minor league park played like a minor league team.
They absolutely did. And, you know, I look at that and I wonder how much of that is just the unfamiliarity of playing in the surroundings there. I mean, it's that sounds like an excuse, right?
Yep.
Hey, I haven't had a chance to acclimate myself.
It shouldn't make a damn difference.
It really shouldn't. You know, you've got, it's 90 feet between the bases.
I said it in jest. Let me be clear about that.
Yes, but I had it in my show sheet, like, is this a problem? Or thinking of it, I don't know if I actually put it in my show sheet. It was a note I had in a show sheet that I knew I was going to relate it to this, that this ballpark, I want to just say, yuck, throw it in the garbage. They won't have to worry about this again, because that was just strange how things worked out in that ballpark, and they're not going to have to play in that ballpark again. But it was three straight games of ineptitude. All over the place. AJ Hinch said it after the game.
He swore.
Yeah, he did. As he should have. It was a blanky series, right? Yeah. They did poorly in all facets of the game. He said it. You know, pitching, hitting, fielding, bullpen, everything. Bad. Mm-hmm. No bueno.
No. So, very no bueno.
Yeah. Fly out to Kansas City and take the day off and get back at it tomorrow night. And you know, you find yourself only 8.5 games up. It's like that. It changes.
Yeah.
It's still a huge lead.
It's still a huge lead. I mean, we're getting into September
this weekend, but this series against the A's was awful. I hope we can just literally say yuck and throw it in the garbage.
It happens in baseball seasons. It's happened once to this team already. It happens to everybody. They just got to get back to being, they got a month here. They got a month. And you know, they can't. If this team shows up in the postseason, it'll be a quick postseason.
Yeah.
If this version of the Tigers, I mean, it'll be very quick.
Guys, they never win in Sacramento. Who cares?
That's a good point. Actually, the funny thing is, there's that stat floating around that the Tigers are like 16-30 against the A's over the last. It's worse than that. The A's have had their number.
I guess they only beat them in the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, the other thing last night, I didn't win the lottery. I didn't win the Powerball.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Nobody wins when I don't win the Powerball.
Nobody won?
Well, I don't think anybody won last night, but I'm saying nobody, none of my friends, nobody benefits when I don't win the Powerball. When I win the Powerball, everybody benefits. People are going to want me to win the Powerball.
Yeah, I do. All right, here it is. Since 2017, the Tigers are 13-40 against the Athletics.
13-40?
Yeah.
Wow. Really?
That can't be true. That can't be true. I saw this floating around, and I'm only seeing it basically being retweeted by fan accounts. Is that true?
Nah, I don't know if that's true.
It's pretty bad.
That's really bad. I mean, if you said 13 out of 40, even then it's still
so 13-27 would be terrible. Yeah, but
I don't believe it.
A's swept them. So, okay. So Brad Holmes spoke this morning. I want to tie in something he had to say with a prediction I saw for this team that is being unveiled as we speak. We will get to that today at 10:20. It's a bit of a surprising prediction. What if I told you, Scott, we got a what if I told you prediction with the Detroit Lions? We'll get to that at 10:20.